Blog Talk Radio.
This one's for all the leaders. Leaders, let's all take a breath. Take a breath. This one's for all the leaders. Leaders, let's all take a breath. Take a breath.
Yeah, got out the 600, blunted chicks on them. Neighborhood, no, we coming. JK them, snakes could not violate him. Pimps memorize his lines verbatim. He reps in YO, gifts he knows to Y-nos. Not church, this how we tied though. He walks the tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this miss.
Welcome, good afternoon. God bless wherever you are on this planet. If you did not hear, participate, or find out about justice, or else we are here to reflect for you and recap history. I am Beverly Black Johnson, and we are live on Tribe Family Channel reflecting on 10-10-15 Justice or Else Million Man March 20th Anniversary Celebration. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan brought our brothers and sisters together again like nobody can. Baby, they don't come out for the president like that. So y'all need to give it up in here for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for our Native brothers and sisters, the Lakota Natives, my sister Queen Yonajaha, Minister Louis Farrakhan's granddaughter, who was on the show October 8th last Thursday. And today we have a special guest who was in attendance yesterday for the celebration, for the call for justice, and for the gathering. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please join me in welcoming Pastor Bruce Rivers. Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Hey, Sister Beverly, praise the Lord for you. So glad to be joining you today. We give God the glory for your show and all of your listeners.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, please open us up with a prayer and then we can begin.
It's my pleasure. Father God, we thank you for this special moment in time that you have set aside before the foundation of the world. We thank you for your servant in Beverly, Black Johnson, the fact that, Lord, you've given her this gift, and you've given her this platform. And we thank you, Lord, now let the ears of the people be receptive to what they will hear, and let their understanding be open to what we will see. And we just give you the glory, honor, and praise for all you do today. In the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And I can't tell you what an honor it is to have you on this platform and for God to use me for such a time. I thank him. And so we know that you are en route, you're traveling, you're on the East Coast. You were at the gathering yesterday. Tell me, what was your inner life when you arrived at Washington, D.C., Justice or Else event gathering yesterday by Minister Louis Farrakhan? What was the inner life?
Well, there was a lot going on. You know, I left California on Friday morning and flew into Philadelphia, and I was picked up by a great group that I'm working with, Pastor Clonard Childress, and we had a twofold reason for going to D.C. Of course, we had our annual Say So March, If You Love the Children, Say So, where we visit four different cities in a march for defunding of Planned Parenthood. But at the same time, we wanted to make sure we were in the area for the Million Man March, and as you so I shared with you a few times, I was at the Million Man March 20 years ago. And ironically, I was working for Phil Donahue at the time. And so I actually booked the show with Minister Farrakhan on the Donahue Show, and he got two shows for the price of one, because the first show was on the day of the O.J. Simpson verdict. So he got to get Minister Farrakhan's ideas on the verdict and at the same time talking about the march. So it was
wow.
A great time. Yeah, I was living in Southern California at that time still, and I heard about the first march and wanted to find out more about it. And so being
mm-hmm.
a quizzing person, you know me, I actually called the Oprah Winfrey Show. But at that time, Oprah really wasn't doing anything controversial. And, you know, the march was kind of controversial because, you know, some people didn't want to deal with Minister Farrakhan because of some of his views. Some people did, but he put together, it wasn't evangelical because, as you know, Muslims and Christianity are not the same. And just for the record straight, I am a Baptist preacher, amen? But he
amen.
Did something. God allowed him to bring a gathering of people. It was a great gathering of people. Some of the King kids were there, and some of the different prominent pastors from around the country participated in that march. And there were a million people. Of course, we didn't have the social media like we have now then. And so there was a lot of state Parks Department tried to make it like there were a million people. But what they did was they overlaid pictures from the Dr. King march of 68. And they showed the number of people that were there was, I think, close to 500,000 that day. And it exceeded that picture by a great deal more. So there were a million people there. It was an ironic because all of the vendors and the store owners, based on false pretense, they saw all these black folks coming to town. They're going to tear up stuff. So they closed all the stores down. Everything was open. Everything was closed. The McDonald's were closed. Everything was closed down on Pennsylvania Avenue and down on the mall. And so the vendors that were out ran out of food. I mean, ran out of water, ran out of the hot dogs, ran out of things. And there was no place to eat. But it was an experience that I laughingly tell people it's the first time I've been around that many black folks or any other kind of folks and didn't smell no marijuana in the air. I'll always laugh about that. You know, a lot of times, you know, we get the Rasta brothers and the different folk that have a different persuasion of things, you know. You might smell
right,
some
right. Well, you know, we don't even want to start talking about the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh,
so when
God.
you bring up marijuana, you know, the flip side of that coin is the pharmaceutical industry. But aside from the atmosphere, like you said, wasn't any smoke blowing, and this was 20 years ago. There wasn't social media. And I'm shocked to hear that the shops and the, you know, along Pennsylvania Avenue and the vendors ran out of food, shops were closed and that sort of thing. And that just goes to show, once again, that we still need to come together and protest how we are treated in this country. They were fool enough to miss out on all that money 20 years ago. So fast forward us to yesterday, the atmosphere is found.
And let me tell you, let me caveat that by saying, when we left the grounds last year, there was not one piece of paper on the ground. They didn't have to clean up nothing. Everybody policed themselves, amen? And so...
Amen, amen.
20 years ago now, so because they just knew it wasn't going to be a mess. But let me tell you that yesterday, when we arrived, at the same time, there was the Taste of D.C. was going on, which is a yearly event. Taste of D.C. is when they have all of the vendors and the restaurateurs and the food cuisines right on Pennsylvania Avenue between 3rd and 7th. So that's four D.C. blocks. They had it fenced off. And you can get in there. They had like Disneyland. You know, you walk in and go left, go right, go left. And they would have music and food. So it was really some strategic planning, I guess you could say, because one of the museums on the grass area, on the mall area, right in front of the Capitol, there were a good 500,000 people there, I say, of all persuasions. So it was a much different atmosphere. People were visiting the Taste of D.C., visiting the march. And, of course, they had plenty of porta potties. They had plenty of stations for donations. And they had two big jumbotrons. Amen. We didn't have jumbotrons either. So they had jumbotrons at the station at the beginning where the stage was, one midway back, and one right out to 7th Street. And then, of course, across 7th Street, where the pool was, they're doing construction there. So that area was not able to be used. So it was jam-packed.
Wow. And so you arrived yesterday about what time Eastern Daylight Time?
Well, I think it was about 2:30. And Minister Farrakhan was up speaking. Of course, he had other ministers. And let me say this, let me qualify. It's the only, now, I don't want to make people upset, but, you know, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the march was due ecumenically. And you know, we got a mandate. God said, if you're ashamed to own me before men, I'll be ashamed to own you before my Father. Well, you know, some of the preachers, Jamal Bryant, and another Willie Robinson, Willie Richardson, or whatever I think his name was, the preachers, the pastors that they were on the program, they were praying and talking about things. And let me be clear, Jesus, the Jesus of the Muslims is not the Jesus of the Christian. These men would not pray in Jesus' name, Christian standpoint. But I figured that's
and I can understand that. I can definitely understand that because I viewed the entire event from beginning to when the minister took the stage, embraced the other gentleman on the stage, and started, you know, his dissertation. Now, what I could appreciate was the ministers that did profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because the thing about it is that you cannot expect everyone to gather together and to be, we're all under one God. Now, who your God is to you is your personal business and relationship between you and God. So what I appreciated was that the ones that weren't afraid or intimidated to speak who they pray to, because obviously there's so many different people and ethnicities and ways of expressing your religion in the world that I don't feel that anyone should walk in shame. I'm not here to shame one person in their religious beliefs because I have my personal religious beliefs. But what I will say is to those that did have enough courage to follow Jesus Christ, no matter what platform they're on, my hat is off to them. And to the brothers that serve Allah, my hat is off to them as well. What I will also say is I could appreciate the respect of all disciplines, all ethnicities, and all of the religious beliefs that made it a point, despite the differences, to recognize the similarities in the struggle and come together. And for that reason, that's why we're gathered here today.
Well, it was evident, there was a great deal more of commerce. There was, now we have food trucks. There was probably 300 food trucks out there. They have 300 food trucks probably on every which way you can. Now, as I told you before, I'm en route to Landover, Maryland in a van. No. I'm in a van traveling to Landover, Maryland. And we're at a toll booth. Amen. And the man just let us go through. We must have had a debit card and didn't have enough cash. And he let us go through. Praise God.
Praise God.
We're being blessed as we continue. So I'm on my way back to Maryland. But yes, I was saying commerce. There were people selling shirts, hats, book bags, tote bags, nothing. And I myself, 20 years ago, I actually was able to get with Minister Farrakhan at the Dallas Center Theater in Oakland, and he gave me permission to print his picture on a hat I made. I used to print baseball caps back in the day, and I had 500 caps, and I sold all of them in less than 45 minutes that day.
Wow.
20 years ago. I didn't take any this year, you know, I was on a different mission myself, but amazingly, like I said, oh, but there was so much commerce going on out there. There were young brothers and young sisters, and there was hats on, shoes and bags on every corner, and there was many, you know, I took a lot of pictures and points and took some video, and of course, I have a great number of great dear friends that you know, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, 20 years ago, actually co-sponsored the march. Brother Ben Chavis and Kwaisi and Fume and all those different guys, you know, they were part of our fraternity. Not Kwaisi, but Brother Chavis. And then a lot of those guys became Muslim, and I had a dear friend, Ray Love, who was Ray Muhammad. He works directly with the Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so he lives in Baltimore. And so Ray was there, and so I was right down in front, you know, and passing out the information on what we were doing. I was very pleased that the minister actually voiced information over what we were standing for, which is standing for life, you know, as a pro-life speaker. But we had a special pamphlet done, and we passed out over 25,000 of them ourselves to
wow.
different people, quite of the 1,786 African-American babies die every day in this country at the hands of abortion clinics.
Well, before you get into that, though, because as you know, we had Dr. Alveda King, your good friend, on our show, and we talked about that. And so before we get into that, because, you know, you and I have had the conversations, and your radio show is forthcoming that's going to expound even further on what it means to you, and that's going to be here live on Tribe Family Channel. Reverend Bruce Rivers will have his show. So with regard to yesterday's gathering, did you see and could you feel an overwhelming sense of unity among not just Black people, but all people? Could you feel the sense of overwhelming unity?
Well, yeah, that's the difference. Like I said, there was a great deal more. It was a great mixture of people yesterday versus where the majority of us were African-American 20 years ago.
Right. Pastor, hold on for 1 second, because this is an open show, so we have another guest that is going to join us from the 508 area code. 508 area code, who are you, and what brings you to reflecting on 10-10-15?
My name is Jesse, and I'm just reflecting on it because it is such a historic moment in American history, because in the past 20 years we haven't had a million man march, and to get it in such a time of racial injustice, in such a time of racial like profiling by so many people, I think it's a great time to, you know, band together, come together as one, unite, show the people that we're not going to give up, and we're going to keep fighting on, to show them that we can't quit, you know?
Now, that is so true. That is so true. Now, Jesse, were you at the gathering yesterday?
Sadly, no. I couldn't make it. I was at work.
You were at work yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Hold the line, and Reverend Bruce Rivers is going to continue to reflect upon it so he can paint a picture for us. And thank you for calling in to listen. Now, Reverend Bruce Rivers, you know, just like Jesse, our caller, was saying, and I had thought about that, wow, you know, in this climate, between 20 years ago and yesterday, why hasn't there been another gathering? Why does it take so long in between that we seem to be more reliant on Minister Louis Farrakhan putting out the call to come together? But what if he were not able to, or if God had not put it on his heart to, and it did not happen because of such a long gap? You know, so how do you feel, going back to what we were talking about, what was that sense of unity like amongst those, you know, that you were around?
Well, yesterday I saw a great deal of love. I saw a great deal of respectability. Ben and with the boys and girls walking around, is very peaceful, with no arguing nowhere, with no down talking, you know. Everybody, when we come together like that, it's always positive. But the problem is, when we leave the event, I remember vividly 20 years ago, one of the great moments at the march, you know, I was in a different place myself, you know, and I remember when Ms. Farrakhan was saying he had a chant at the end, they had a pledge, and he had everybody say, say your name, and everybody, and it's a trip here, a million people say their name at the same time.
Wow.
He said, I said Bruce Rivers, you said Beverly, and somebody said Joe Johnson, somebody said Bob Brown, somebody said all at the same time. And then there was a list of pledges. Matter of fact, I have them all written down, what he asked us to say. He said, I say your name, and that I will go home. I will tell my wife and my children, I love them, and it was about 10 different parts of that pledge. And that was a powerful moment. And I know some of us actually did go home and do that. But some of us probably didn't. And here we are, you know, we still suffer from Willie Lynchism in this country, especially those people of concern. We were disenfranchised so long. And if you know the story, I know you do, heavily, of how the crab in the pot mentality that we still perpetuate on each other, that our attitude that we have. So, you know, when it's in our face, we can kind of like, hey, man, let's run and do this. But as soon as the party's over, the party's really over, people go home and sadly get right back into their whole little microcosmic world. And they say, okay, that was good, but I saw great peace yesterday again. And yesterday, it took 20 years. And with all of the racial tension going on in the country, you would think we made it through the 60s. And then we made it through the 70s. We made it through the 80s and the 90s. It's 2000. We're going back to the 50s.
Lord.
You know, history repeats itself. And we're in a time where, you know, where people are, with the immigration issues, whether you want them here or don't want them here. I've heard people say some nasty and vile things about, you know, well, what America has done to the Native American population. Well, we took their land and we did all of this, and that we were immigrants. So we weren't immigrants. We weren't a nation of laws yet. We're a nation of laws now. The laws stipulate that, you know, there are rules. We set things up. When you violate what's been set up, you're out of order. But we're so busy with an anything goes attitude now in our country, with all the different nationalities, all the different races of people, we forgot to care about people. The Bible tells us plain, we forget the widows and the poor. I heard Mr. Farrakhan make reference to the Word of God throughout his speeches many, many times. And the references were true and correct. They were not in error. But the Bible also says that he used foolish things to confound the wise. And if you don't accept the word of saying, it'll go right over your head. It all sounds good. But if you haven't accepted him as Lord and Savior, you're missing. And some of us are missing it, and the church is missing it. You know, we need to go and because the Bible said, let there be no division among you. We divided every Sunday morning. People went out on how many different directions this morning when they went to church. Amen. We didn't all go to one church. We should have
been to say that.
You know,
but we are definitely under one God. You know, we're definitely under one God. And so let me ask you this, and thank you for that. Did you get that feeling that, because, you know, yes, you know, the gathering obviously has the differences. Focusing on the similarities, did you get that feeling that we're all under one God, under this sky, the weather was clear? I know you said when you arrived, the minister was already on the stage, but what you did not see, if you didn't see the podcast, the opening ceremony performed by our Native brothers and sisters and his granddaughter, Queen Yonajaha, on the stage, giving us her signature fist up for, you know, not just her Native side, but also for her African-American side. And so did you feel in the air, did you get the sense of one people, one God at all?
I got the air of one people, but not one God.
Okay. And that's fair, and I appreciate that.
One people at one time, you know. And,
wow.
You know, many reflections of God represented. I'll say that.
Okay, I appreciate that. Because God is reflected through his people in many different ways, you know. And so that's why he does have many different names, and God has spoken to his people in many different languages. But we all know that there is but one God. And I would like to testify that I've heard his voice. I've felt his touch. I've seen his face. I know his heart, and I'm in his care. Amen, because I am undergirded by God. That's why he allows me to do what I'm doing, and I'm so thankful and grateful to that. Now, you were talking about there was a twofold reason for your being there, and we know that you're en route now to Maryland for yet another occasion and event. Tell us your perspective on there being, like you said, so many abortions of African-American people, and here we're not trying to segment or leave anyone out, but right now this is about, you know, the subject at hand. And so I make no apologies. Black Lives Matter, and African-Americans are suffering injustices that no one else has to deal with, especially if you're not African-American. So we're not slighting you. We're just not talking about you today. So today,
I tell people all the time, I'm not talking about nobody. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about.
Thank you. You better say that. And so, and what we are talking about is my black brothers and sisters, my Native brown, red brothers and sisters. And so what is that? What are those numbers that blacks and, you know, our people are being aborted by every day? Because, you know, that's very close to me. I admitted on air to Dr. Alveda King that I actually had two abortions, and that was my first time publicly admitting that. I've always carried a certain amount of guilt and shame, and I don't carry it anymore. I've delivered it over to God, and then to have someone like Dr. Alveda King pray over me on air, instructing me to put my hand on my heart and, you know, for me to follow, you know, her guidance in that area. I just felt purely anointed by her presence. So what are these numbers, and expound for us about that particular side of the ministry that you're working on with the, you know, defunding Planned Parenthood, if you will, as it relates to our black babies.
Well, you know, and thank you for that. And I know that the program that you're going to allow me to do coming up at the end of the month was titled after my book, Assume No More Rivers. As you know, I am a global father. I have no biological heirs. And back in the 70s, of course, we didn't know what we were doing, but –
But to go to the front, there was a lady named Margaret Sanger, and she was 1939. She was a eugenist. And if you know what eugenics was, the extermination of people for the benefit of other people. And you remember Adolf Hitler and that crew, they wanted to exterminate the Jews. Well, Margaret Sanger was a student, a pupil of that ideology, and she said, you know, I know how to handle these black and brown people. She said, what we're going to do is, she went and got W.B. Du Bois and a lot of other prominent black leaders at that time. She talked to them and said, hey, basically told her constituents, we can't let these black people know what we're really doing. So what we'll do is we'll kind of bamboozle them with some things, but we know that the church was the focal point of who we were in that time frame. You know, the black people had come from slavery and were now, but the church was our anchor. And so what she did was went to the black preachers and said, let's tell them about population control. They need to not have so many, and we can control them. If they get too many, we'll be able to do, they'll outnumber us. Well, in 1939, she started what was called the Negro Project, dealing with black and brown people. And there are many quotes of hers about what she called us weeds. We have to exterminate these weeds in America. And that's one of the quotes. And so she was good at what she did. And once again, we were snookered. And then in 1973, the name of that program was changed to Planned Parenthood. And, of course, you know, Planned Parenthood has been a big uproar going on right now, and they've been killing babies for a long time. We are 12% of the population, and only half of that 12% is women. So basically you're looking at 6% of the population account for 35% of all abortions in this country. And so out of 57-plus million babies, 1,786 black babies are aborted every day. So if all black lives matter, now if you got to hang up on whether or not a baby is a life or not, then that's something you're going to have to deal with on God. God told one prophet, I knew you in your mother's womb. So if he knew him, he didn't need, I didn't know it. I knew you in your mother's womb, Jeremiah. I believe God has told us very plain and simple, life begins at conception. Now, we want to deal with the fact that, well, it's a woman's right to choose and all of that. I don't have a problem with a woman choosing, but you got to. If you're a Christian, you got to choose life, amen. Now, if you're not a Christian, then you might want to choose another thing, or maybe choose not to lay down before you get started. But the bottom line is, I myself am post-abortive. I have four children that are in heaven with the Lord, and I ironically met Dr. Alveda King on stage at the very church we were at today, at my brother Pastor Herb Lusser's church in 2007, at a LEARN conference, the Life and Action Network. And so the weird thing about it was I was on a panel with her, and I listened to this talk about the four abortions she had, and it blew my mind, because I had never thought about what was going on. And basically she, When the question was asked, how has abortion affected you in your community where you live, I never thought about it. And this was, you know, 30 years after I had the first two, and literally 30 years, almost to the day. And by the time I listened to Dr. Alveda, listened to a lady named Zena Hackworth, and another pastor talk about what he was fighting, and they've been on this battlefield for many years, amen. I'm the new kid on the block when it comes to it. But I left that stage in tears that day, realizing what I had done to sever my own bloodline by not really, you know, God made man to be the protector and the nurturer. And we've given up our responsibility. We've abdicated our responsibility. And I didn't protect my girlfriend. I didn't nurture my girlfriend to let her be rest assured that we would be able to take care of those two babies. And so the people in Planned Parenthood told her, well, he's in college, you don't need it, he ain't got no job. And so they talked her into it. And she wound up almost dying on the second one. She was hemorrhaging at home. So I'm just one of many. And, of course, you know, my ministry is dealing with men who who suffer from abortion. There's all kind of support now for women. And they want to tell us that it doesn't hurt a woman. It's okay, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. It does hurt. And I was pleased yesterday with Minister Louis Farrakhan standing on stage. They you know, they got the pro-life message. There's all kind of pro-life groups, all kind of people that believe the life message. And I was appreciative of him bringing it up yesterday, which will, I pray, will embolden some of these churches. Some folks go, these church pastors, we got to call them all out. Because, first of all, if you're worried about your membership going down behind that too is the truth, then you don't need to be pastor in the first place. Amen?
Amen. You better say that.
It's God's church. It ain't your church in the first place. And if God can't keep everybody there by you telling the truth, why are you letting them keep there while you telling a lie? Baby, I know you already know me. I don't have to even worry about that. You know, I keep why play when you can't, you know, I play football, but I don't play church, amen?
Come on, amen, amen. For our listeners, this is Reverend Bruce Rivers of Mount Moriah Church in Mount Moriah Baptist Church, Dos Palos, California, by way of Riverside and everywhere else. He does not play. He does not play. So if you think you've reached the wrong station, you might want to hang up or change your dial because he's not playing over here. Not over here. Live on Tribe Family Channel. You know, God. You know, Jesus didn't, he didn't have social media. He led thousands. He didn't have Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, social sprout, none of this, okay? And he led the people. So if you're scared that your numbers are going to go down in your church, like Pastor T.D. Jake say, how many you running, Doc? You know, people want to know how many you're running. How many members do you have over here? How many members do you have over there? You know what? Just preach God's word. Every knee shall bow. Every knee. Every knee shall bow.
The gospel must be preached, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we do what we've been commissioned to do, you know, let God fill up the church. I began, matter of fact, this week, it's my first year at the church I'm at now.
Congratulations.
Years in there, and when I got there, there was basically seven people there. Church, you know, older church in the San Joaquin Valley. But now God has brought, I told him, I said, look, don't you go and ask nobody to come to church. You go and ask somebody to come worship and see what we're doing in the worship service. So we come to worship God. I don't come to have church. I am the church. I ain't got to go nowhere.
You better say that.
Anywhere I go, I'm church. You know, I'm
supposed to be in the church right now.
You know, you're going to get me started. You know you're going to get me started. With my spirit, the spirit of the Lord is liberty. But I preached not long ago that the spirit of the Lord is activity. And we got to be an active church. Pastor Clenard Childress, who invited me here, who is one of the straight generals in this pro-life movement. I met him. At the same Learn conference at Pastor Hurst Church in 2007. Mm-hmm. And he the state so marked, his march is, if you love the children, say so. Now, he's a revolutionary. I mean, by the way, if you want to see some of the pictures and things, you can go to Facebook, Bruce E. Rivers. I can't have any more friends. So I've already reached the 5,000 friend limit, but my granddaughter
told me. Well, now, hold that thought, Pastor, because we have somebody that's calling in, and we know it's an open show. Okay.
Amen.
Caller, thank you for calling in. Your number is blocked, but we see you in the studio with your hand up. Would you like to say a word? Caller, what's your name and your interest in reflecting on 10-10-10? All right, well, I guess they just want to listen in. Go ahead, Pastor.
They're going to hear it. They're going to hear it in Jesus' name. And so,
amen.
Pastor Childress invited me here. It's my second year at the march with him. And what a wonderful man. He can go to blackgenocide.org. If you want to get the 411 on this abortion movement, and the pro-life movement, we're not abortion. I'm pro-choice myself. I choose Jesus, amen? And
amen.
Was to talk about life, because all life comes from God. I mean, you cut it up, but here we're here. Well, right now, I think, you know, we're on 95 heading to Landover. We started out in D.C. yesterday at the march. We left D.C. and went into Philadelphia this morning. Two services myself and my pastor's church my this morning at 7 and 9. Pastor Childers came in with Pastor Johnny Hunter, the founder of Learn. He came in and his wife, and we're in a van and a bus now heading to Landover for another meeting tonight at Pastor Jenkins Church at Landover, Maryland. Tomorrow morning, we got a bunch of young people. Beverly, I tell you, there's some young people that's on fire for the Lord and for the life movement. I mean, today, they don't play. They got bullhorns.
Amen, amen. Give it up for our young folks that's in the movement for Black Lives Matter and for, you know, justice or else, because it is truly a fight for justice. Fighting for life, being pro-life, is a fight for justice or else. You know, the reflections that you've given us today here, not only about yesterday's justice or else gathering, but also with your ministry and while you're on the road right now with the you know, a pro-life movement, it is truly about pro-life. It's truly about coming together. So I really want to give it up to our young people, because they do step to the forefront of the struggle, wherever it is. Our young people are on fire. So I'm looking forward to some of them being the guests on your show. And, you know, Pastor, you don't know that my call dropped, but I just want to say, for our listening audience and for you as well, if my voice drops out, you keep talking, because my call dropped. I called back in and you were still talking, and I was like, right on, that's my pastor. So I want you to know, just in case. So now back to where you're heading now with the movement for tomorrow. Tell us about that and what that website is again.
Well, tomorrow morning, right now, we're in Landover. Are we in Landover, Doc?
We're in Laurel,
Maryland, amen.
Amen.
We're at the old country town buffet, amen. The kids got to eat, so we're taking a break. We're going to let them get something to eat, and we just
pull up
in the van. And we got a 55 passenger bus and a van, and we're pulling out right now.
All right.
I'm just at the van, but I'm going to finish my conversation with you. And then tomorrow morning we're going to meet at 8:00. We're going to go to RFK Stadium, the home of the Redskins, and we're going to march from RFK Stadium to the steps of the Supreme Court. And
all right, now let me. I have to say something right there about where you said you were going.
Uh-huh.
Okay. To the what of the Redskins?
Well,
because that's one of the
stadium
problems in America, to the stadium of the Redskins. You know, my native brothers and sisters are are up in arms because of the audacity of America to name stadiums and gathering places after their likenesses. And so I just want to say for Tribe Family Channel that we do not support any of that. So whether it's the Washington Redskins or the Chiefs or whatever, I am totally against America's elite naming, first creating genocide, and then having the audacity to come back from that with the naming of such places. But I know you didn't say that for me to get off on this. So
I totally respect it. You know, I'm an old football player, and I went to camp one day and got cut, praise God. But, you know, I love football with all my heart. You know, my brother, Pastor Herb Lush, is the original praying tailback. He's the first NFL player to kneel in the infield on the field of play and pray. First man, first black man, the first man.
Amen.
And he goes down in history as the praying tailback. So,
well, you know, we're going to have him on your show October 29th, No More Rivers. And we're anticipating your book coming out under your brand. And, of course, we've got a lot to talk about with regards to that. Pastor, I really, really want to thank you for joining me here, for giving us your reflections about yesterday's Justice or Else gathering.
Amen.
We honor the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for bringing so many people together in one place and time. We know that you're traveling. We want to continue to pray that your travels are safe and that, you know, when you get to each and every destination, that, you know, his anointing precedes you. And we're going to allow you to go ahead and join everyone with the meal that you're about to have. So thank you for reflecting on 10-10-15 and giving us a feel for how the atmosphere was. Lastly, before you go, what did you take away from it? If you had to tell the world what Minister Louis Farrakhan meant by yesterday's gathering and what you took away from it, what would those final words be?
I believe, like you said, at the very end of the day, and this is going to get you because this is where you started, using social media. You know, you go to Bruce E. Rivers on Facebook and find me very easily. But he said at the end, I watched something that was phenomenal. I've seen it in concerts. You know, I was on the road with Natalie Cole. I've seen a lot of things over the years change. And at the end of the event, with 500,000 people standing all around, you know, everybody got a cell phone now, right? They made a plea, and they said, would everybody take out their cell phones and text Unity, I believe it was 3330, Unity 330. And I looked around as everybody was actually texting. So they got a database of close to 500,000 people in a matter of minutes. Who would love to have that database, amen? Because if you gotta, we got to do that on our show. When my show comes next week, I'm going to give have a text number to people to want to donate, to want to do what they want to do to the ministry, to the book project and everything else. But it blew me away. I saw thousands of people right in my vicinity. I look left, I look right, I look backwards, I look forward, and everybody was texting. Unity.
So what you're saying is that he was able to activate people into action because of social media, because of his voice and his influence, and that perpetuated everyone to get on one accord.
Sister Beverly, that one word, unity, stopped the whole thing. Out of everything else, you know, we got short attention spans in our lives, right? But if nobody heard nothing else, they heard that word. Because the movement was movement. When he said that, they did it. Amen. I'll tell you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Exciting moment. Amen.
Wow.
Look,
thank you so
much. I love
much,
you, Beverly.
Pastor.
I'm going to go in here with my kids.
I love you too. And this is out to you and all the rest of the leaders. God bless you and continue
thank
to keep you.
You.
Thank you.
God bless
to Minister,
you, baby.
God bless you, Pastor Bruce Rivers. And
all
to
right.
all
Bye-bye.
Of the leaders carrying the baton, this is Beverly Black Johnson live.
Amen.
From Tribe Family Channel, we want to thank Reverend Bruce Rivers. We want to thank all of those that have taken the time out of your lives to be at the 10-10-15 Justice or Else Million Man March 20th Anniversary Gathering. Call for justice by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. To those of you that heeded the call of unity, I want you to know this is for you.
This one's for all the leaders. Let's all take the mic. Take the mic. This one's for all the leaders. Let's all take the mic. Take the mic.
Yeah, got out the 600, blunted 600. Neighborhood, no, we coming. Jake hate him, snakes could not violate him. Pimps memorize his lines verbatim. He reps in YO, gifts he knows to YOs. Not church, this how we tied though. He walks the tenement, sleeps at a super fly con. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back Mac and Denzis. Never puts cash or ass before friendship. He laughs last, and some die young, he is still existing. Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch. When he talks, we listen.
To the mirror and as you I say look at me. Everything you like it fresh from the factory. Everything you do it impact me. Your lifestyle attract me. Parents try to distract me. When I grow up I want to be like you exactly. And as soon as I get up I distract me. There's no way anybody could have stopped me. My gravity toward the aura and all the mannerism. Descending out of order and man start moving busy. The locking of the corners, the streets and all the buildings. Me love you like a father, me ready and me willing. Anything where you are taught is lying my dominion. And me have similar thoughts, I share the same opinions. Me have it say you're smart, with my best interests at heart. I'm following your path, don't mind where you are what.
The Caesar, the monsters, the grandiose, the martyrs, the hell on earth pompers, Ellsworth, Bumpy Johnsons, the Harlemites, the Garveyites, black as the credit card we swipe, popping down the knife for all of mine. I can see myself back at the Audubon, Malcolm on the podium, shells dropped to linoleum, swipe those, place them on display at the Smithsonian, next to only gems that were left behind by holy men, infectious, charisma of those who gave us direction, the anti-sexist, resistance against oppression, progressive thinking, ghetto speakers, protesters against the colored only section, to the Genesixin, the Frost Nixon, the contradiction, the cross, the crucifixion, the loss we took for sinning, on Easter's back inscription, that it was written, that nothing is coincidence, they took our